This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez, and I'm here with Lisa Pierce, who's the Vice President of Forrester Research. And she spoke at the Quest Solutions Seminar at the Westin St. Francis in downtown San Francisco this morning. Thanks for being on the podcast, Lisa.
Well, thanks for asking. We really appreciate it.
Now, if there is a word that could be a theme for your talk on migrating to new communication services, which you spoke this morning, you seem to tell many of the representatives of enterprises in that room this morning that that word could have been uncertainty. I wonder if you could describe that word in terms of what companies face when they migrate to new communication services.
Well, often, certainly as is currently the case, many companies are using technologies that have been around for many, many years, and those technologies are very reliable, and we know how to work with them and how to care for them. Some of these technologies have been around for, T1 technology has been around since 1963. So very well understood, very mature technologies. The technologies we're talking about are becoming more well understood. It is an evolution both in terms of standards and then in terms of implementation on the parts of vendors and service providers, and then on the experience side, both in terms of how this changes an enterprise mode of operations and then how the enterprise actually cares for those new technologies. So because the technologies we have been using have been well standardized and the implementation of those standards has been full and complete for many years, the migration to something that is still in the process of becoming standardized does have an element of risk and uncertainty. Yes.
Would you say that uncertainty is, in one sense, what the IT industry is all about from a consumer point of view?
Has always been about, because certainly, as we know, just on the supplier side, suppliers put stuff out there, and sometimes it flies and sometimes it doesn't.
And sometimes it doesn't even fly when it's supposed to work in the systems that it's designed for.
Yes, or sometimes even when a technology does work very well, the customers just aren't interested in it. We can think about, historically, the classic is Betamax versus VCR. There was nothing wrong with Betamax. In fact, it was a better technology. Didn't seem to make a bit of difference in terms of what customers went for, though.
One of the new technologies on the horizon is MPLS. I wonder if you could describe that.
Multi-protocol label switching, boy, that's a mouthful, is taking a routed IP protocol and making it behave, essentially, through class of service techniques so that one can reliably transmit and prioritize performance-sensitive applications over performance-insensitive applications, voice over email as extreme examples. By doing so, it allows both service providers and enterprises to ultimately simplify their wide area and sometimes local area architectures.
Is that going to bring us closer to this next phase? And you outlined four phases there, the mainframe phase, the PC phase, the networked / internet phase, and now the ubiquitous computing phase. Is this going to allow enterprises to start achieving some sort of ubiquity in the way that they experience computing in their companies?
Certainly, and many enterprises certainly would say that they certainly have a greater degree of ubiquitous computing now than they did 15 years ago. The issue is to take it to the next step, so not only for human-to-human or human-to-machine communications, but often for machine-to-machine communications as well, to not only think about stationary locations, but locations that may be temporary, for instance, a craft show or a sporting event, or individuals on the go, somebody who is a salesperson and so is out covering their territory, or a field service technician who's out servicing customers and delivering things to customers.
And back to that idea of anytime, anywhere, anyhow.
Correct.
I can access computing services.
Correct. And an MPLS infrastructure is very flexible on the types of access technologies it interfaces to, whether that's mobile or fixed, copper or fiber, the devices it ultimately interfaces to. Could be a router, could be a Trio, could be an IP PBX.
When you think of legacy systems and emerging systems, harmony or dissonance? What do you think? Or is there a little bit of both that you could actually talk about?
There's actually a little bit of both. The problems with certainly the legacy systems is they did their particular jobs very, very well. The problem is our needs as both as businesses and as society are evolving, and in order for our communications and computing infrastructures to meet our evolving needs, we need infrastructures that are less applications-centric so that they can handle, you know, a real-time application or something less real-time on a very flexible, cost-effective basis, so that we could think about taking that infrastructure and spreading it out on a much wider geographic basis to a much broader set of users than was available in the past.
So the harmony is that you could pick up your old phone and know it's going to work 99.999%
whatever it was, yes.
Right.
But the goal, of course, is to have the newer technologies, including voice over IP, work as well as those that are well-baked today. But it does involve some degree of both preparedness and patience on the part, obviously, of both suppliers and users to get there. We aren't at nirvana. It's going to take quite a while to get to that better place to support ubiquitous computing, but the raw materials and the foundation are there to do it. And that's we're in a much better place than we were 10 years ago that way.
Oh, certainly. And I imagine there are salespeople out in the field right now who just got that voicemail from their office phone that on their email that they could listen to on their BlackBerry and are ecstatic about
yes,
that.
Yes, and unified communications, for instance, for certain organizations that didn't have voicemail ubiquity, unified communications is an absolute wonderful thing. There are an awful lot of local government entities where the traditional way of answering phones, I know for many people will be shocked by this, is a human being taking a message. That's not very productive or effective. And so going from there to unified communications is just mind-boggling and a huge benefit in terms of productivity.
That was Lisa Pierce, a vice president at Forrester Research. With the popularity of video sites like YouTube and Google, bandwidth demands on the network will only increase. Martin Capurro is Quest's senior director of global data product management, and he spoke with Jason Lopez. He says that the carriers are scrambling to build the network to meet the coming deluge of data.
It's a network where everyone gets to plug in and participate, and so what's coming at you really is somewhat unknown. But in managing chaos, we have been able to predict it a little bit, and what we know is that there's a lot of new types of traffic that traditionally have been handled on other networks, like video networks or even on CDs, and U.S. Post Office just shipping those things around, that are now just going over the Internet, and so it's creating quite a big spike in bandwidth utilization over internet networks in general. And that does transcend into business as well.
Well, one of the things you pointed out in your talk was just the sort of the coming new protocol, MPLS, that is going to take us another step further. I wonder if you could describe that and how perhaps this is an example of the kinds of new offerings from Quest and from the industry that might transform things, and how might it transform things?
The Internet has been running for some time using something called Internet Protocol, or IP for short. Great protocol. However, it's a very flat protocol that doesn't necessarily have a lot of attributes that make it acceptable for business use, meaning quality of service type of attributes or the ability to segment different types of traffic. And so MPLS is actually something that works with IP protocol to add some of those characteristics to it. So with IP networks for businesses that are using MPLS on top of it, you're able to do things like handle voice, video, data, and internet traffic all over a single connection and manage the service so that things work the way they should for business.
And this is the idea of making things smarter rather than just building out pure capacity. Is that right?
Well, sure, absolutely. Because the business isn't just gray graciously wanting to grow bandwidth and spend more money. They're wanting to do things in ways that are more efficient. And so squeezing more out of existing infrastructure, as well as adding bandwidth when needed, is the right balance that the business needs to strike. And MPLS allows you to do that for your IP services.
One of the things that many customers might say, and obviously we all have bought IT products, whether it's a computer or software or whatever, and it seems like there are lots of promises and things work well enough, but many customers do feel a little, they are apprehensive about adding new products simply because it's the next thing. I wonder if you could speak to that issue, because as a provider of services, that must be something that you have to deal with a lot.
Sure. And we as a service provider industry are fairly guilty of just kind of blindly selling whatever the next available technology is out there for wide area networking. But I think there is a difference now versus the past 15 to 20 years. And that is, one, basically the introduction of Internet Protocol. It has become the dominant means by which we do wide area networking as far as an underlying protocol, and it's ubiquitous, it's accepted everywhere, and it's been a great unifier of even applications, because now rather than businesses and companies building standalone applications, everyone utilizes that underlying connectivity fabric. And so we're not necessarily selling something new at this point. What we are doing is adapting that technology, that ubiquitous fabric, to be able to be used by businesses more effectively and efficiently. And for better or for worse, it has become quite a unifier for various standalone applications and things that used to happen in isolation. Now use all that fabric, and it's actually opened up a lot of new doors.
Let's move on to this idea of this next network requiring more capacity. Obviously, that is the major topic on a lot of people's minds right now. Is the next network essentially a video network?
That's a good question. I would say no, not just a video network. The next network is already here. It really is this internet fabric that's able to do combination of things that we used to do on different mediums. It'll do video, it'll do voice, it'll do video conferencing, it'll do traditional web traffic, it'll do emails. It really becomes just a single conduit to move all of this information around. Because I think that's really the new dynamic of networking tomorrow, is that rather than computers really being pockets of isolation, this network now has to be the infrastructure of tomorrow that allows devices, whether they're computers, TVs, cell phones, or even appliances at home, to just be able to communicate to one another. And it almost becomes the new, the bus, motherboard, whatever the right term is, to just allow information to pass freely. But yeah, it does put quite a bit of strain on networks going forward, because bandwidth is just assumed, and somehow we need to keep the technology up to be able to service that information exchange medium.
Well, I wonder if you could give us an idea of how much bandwidth we're talking about, because if let's just say we took network television right now, cable television, and threw that on the internet. That is something that I think a lot of us assume is going to happen at some point, and obviously Quest and other companies in the industry have to think about that. But then in your presentation, I noticed something that was quite interesting. In your business products, there was the mention of video in terms of business communication, video chat,
right,
podcasts, all sorts of other things. And if this is true, I can imagine an explosion of video that might be equal to what's being offered just over cable right now. I mean, we're talking about capacity that is probably a lot greater than what the average person might even think about.
Well, you bring up a great point, because whereas today the internet infrastructure is built to pass emails and the such, the size of a movie just a regular movie, like a DVD quality movie, over the internet is roughly, I'd say, about 4,000 times the size of an average email, maybe even a bit more. So it gives you an idea as to how big a movie is that we might be wanting to ship around over the internet is versus your historical email. And to put that in context, an HD or high-definition movie versus a regular email, we're talking about something almost hard to comprehend, but it'd be about 12,000 to 16,000 times the size of a regular email. So we are talking orders of magnitude change, and that's really one of the challenges is how do we, on the fly, while the vehicle is moving, upgrade the network or change that tire on the network while everything that we just mentioned is happening in real time.
Well, one of the other triggers that you mentioned is an increased demand and bandwidth for Vista. And you mentioned it as an unpredictable good. I wonder if you could describe that.
Well, Vista Longhorn is one of the few things that are on the horizon that can definitely change dynamics. I'll say network utilization, traditionally, there's a couple of reasons people don't use the internet networks more. One of them is just they don't know how to use it more effectively. They don't know how to, say, send files to each other other than email. And I think Vista will solve for some of those things because it just makes the sharing of files, the storage of files, and the interaction a little bit more transparent so that the end user just finds it easier to do those things. And then when you start changing that behavior, it's easier to do people from, young adopters to people that have been a little bit later begin to do it more regularly. And then that tends to drive a change in how the network is actually utilized, drives a change in behavior. So those are some of the things that we see happening. A great example of what Vista can do is, from that behavior example, is this video gaming. What the Sony PlayStation or some of these things did to games, they just brought them online, and it changed the behavior of this new generation that's very willing to play games online, something that wouldn't have occurred to us. Well, Vista can do that to the general masses because it'll allow us to do computing online in a way that we just haven't conceived in the past, and it'll be very transparent. As long as everything works well and the networks are there and ready to go, it'll reward people with a new experience.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for explaining the next step of what's happening behind the scenes with many of the providers out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Martin Capurro is the Senior Director for Global Data Product Management at Qwest.